You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's April 3rd, 2025, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in just 15 minutes or your next pizza's free. Thank you so much for tuning into the show this morning. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about everything that we now know about the Nintendo Switch 2. But first, let's check out some of the other gaming news going on this week. And preview impressions came out recently for Xbox and id Software's upcoming Doom the Dark Ages. And from most accounts, it's coming along rather well. VGC's Jordan Midler got hands-on and says, quote, "It's incredibly fun. It's uncompromised, energetic, brutal, and rewarding. It is everything that I'd hope and expect from a Doom game, pulled off by a team that's clearly full of confidence." He goes on to say that the prequel finds a nice balance between the 2016 reboot and its sequel, Doom Eternal, saying, "While I may not be instantly convinced by some of the game's more gimmicky elements, the gameplay of Doom the Dark Ages is unimpeachable. The changes made to movement and weapons make for a game that sits comfortably between 2016 and Eternal, and I think it's set to outshine both of them." Bold claims from Jordan Midler. So full disclosure, I've never really been a Doom guy. Primarily because the speed of the action was just overwhelming for me. It was just kind of too much for my brain. I've always preferred the more methodical pace of something like a Call of Duty campaign. But people love this series, and the new, more open level design and quasi-medieval setting are pretty interesting. And being that it's a day one Game Pass title, I'll probably give it a shot and see if maybe this one gets its hooks in me. All right, we now know just about everything that there is to know about the Nintendo Switch 2. We know the when, we know the how much, we know the games, we know all the weird little quirks about the device that could only possibly come from Nintendo. Yesterday, they filled their Nintendo Direct with 62 and a half minutes full of some things that we expected, plenty that we absolutely did not, and maybe a couple of things that kind of shocked us. So let's jump right into the action and break down the Switch 2. First of all, the date. The Switch 2 is going to launch on June 5th, 2025. And that's only 9 weeks from today. Holy cow. Like, we all thought that that was, you know, around when it was going to launch. That date wasn't shocking, but still, it's hard to believe that we're only 9 weeks away from brand new Nintendo hardware. Holy crap. Here in the US, it is going to retail for $450, which I don't think is unreasonable, but I do think that will be a little bit of a hurdle when it comes to capturing the mass market appeal of the original console. I think $399 really was that kind of that peak of what they could charge and still reach all those families that they want to reach. That's what Nintendo systems, you know, have always been about. And I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's going to be a challenge. $450 is going to get you the Switch console, the two Joy-Con controllers, the Joy-Con grip and straps, the dock, HDMI cable, AC adapter, and USB-C charging cable. Now, looking at the hardware itself, I was pretty impressed with most of what they revealed. Although not everything got me excited. What I did love, a 7.9-inch LCD screen, bigger than the original. That's good. Second USB-C port. That's good. 4K resolution and up to 120 frames per second. Very good. That is awesome. New, larger, magnetically attached Joy-Cons. Very good. 256 gigabytes of internal storage. Yes, that all sounds good. All of the ways in which they've improved what they had already going with the original Switch, that's what I'm excited about. I'm less excited about some of the new things that they're trying. Not because I think that they look bad, but just because I don't think I'll really use them myself. Like the mouse capabilities of the Joy-Con. So, I mean, I get that they need to try something new. They need to add a twist to this thing. But I don't think that I'll really get any use out of this. I mostly play my Switch or any video game while sitting, you know, either in my recliner or on my couch. And I'm not going to, you know, sit at a table or at a desk or grab a lap tray just so that I have a flat surface to use this feature. It's fine and all that they did it. I just don't think I'll be using it. The same for the C button capability. Everyone was wondering what that was going to be about. And it's basically used to connect you with other friends online. And you can use the camera, which is sold separately, to open this kind of party chat and see what everybody else is playing. And you can, you know, see your friends. And I could maybe see, you know, some kids getting into this, but I don't have any friends, especially friends who would want to do that. So again, not bad features, just ones I don't really care about. Some other stuff before we get to the games. They announced GameCube titles are coming to the Switch Online service, which might be the only prediction that I got correct. I gotta stop making predictions. I think the first titles that they showed were Wind Waker, Soul Calibur 2, and F-Zero X. That's pretty rad. I'm excited to play GameCube games again. They announced some upgrades to Switch 1 titles with improved resolution and frame rate. I'm not super clear on how these are going to roll out and whether there'll be a cost or not. It seems like maybe some are bigger upgrades than others. We'll see. They also talked about game share and virtual cards, which I'm not gonna pretend to really understand quite yet how that works. If you're more smarter than me, you can check out Nintendo.com and you'll probably understand it better. Now to the games. That's what you really care about. The video games. And, you know, I think they did pretty darn good in that regard. Other than maybe the price. We'll get to that. Mario Kart World. In all honesty, I didn't think they needed to do another Mario Kart after how perfect 8 was. But if you're gonna do it, Burnout Paradise meets Mario Kart is the way to go. Mario Kart World takes the series open world with circuits that go cross country all over the Mushroom Kingdom. And you can also go off-roading at any time and explore this massive world and take selfies with your girls. And if that doesn't do it for you, how about a dose of Diddy Kong Racing? Because now you can fly and take to the water during races. It screamed Diddy Kong to me. Big props for taking a game I didn't even think they needed and really coming up with something interesting. Then they showed off some of the third-party offerings, and it was mostly ports of games, you know, things you'd expect. Star Wars Outlaws is coming. Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming. Hades 2, Split Fiction, Cyberpunk. I don't know how many of you are out there, but if you only play on Nintendo consoles, you're about to have a lot of games to play. There were a couple of third-party exclusives of note. Koei Tecmo is bringing a new Hyrule Warriors this year, which looks to fill in some of the story blanks from Tears of the Kingdom. That's neat. And From Software surprised everybody with a Switch 2 exclusive called The Dusk Bloods. So if you're a Bloodborne or Elden Ring weirdo, this was right up your alley. There were several more first-party titles shown, the first one being Nintendo Switch 2 Welcome Tour. And this is a super boring looking pack-in game slash tech demo, which somehow is not packed in. And they're going to actually ask you $4 for this thing. I think I speak for just about everybody on the planet when I say, yeah, I'm good actually. Dragon Drive is the game that I feel the most bad about for thinking it doesn't look very fun. It's a wheelchair basketball title, which in and of itself, that's great. Accessibility win. It just doesn't have any of that flair or charm that a lot of first party Nintendo games have. So maybe it'll be more fun than it looks. We also got a teaser though for Kirby Air Riders, which, they didn't show any actual gameplay, but Kirby's charming as heck. So I'm happy to learn more about that one. Finally, they did not reveal a new 3D Mario game that I think many, many people were expecting, but I guess this is the next best thing. A brand new Donkey Kong game titled Donkey Kong Bonanza. Great title. It's a big 3D platformer with lots of destructible environments. It looks silly and fun, and it comes out in July. So as far as games go, I think it was pretty solid. You know, no Mario, that hurts, but Donkey Kong and Mario Kart look pretty good to me. You'll probably want to start looking for quarters in your couch now, though, because the console isn't the only thing that's more expensive than we expected. Donkey Kong Bonanza retails for $70, and Mario Kart World is a shocking $80. Now, they are offering a Switch 2 bundle with a digital version of Mario Kart for $500, which essentially knocks the price down to $50. But still, wow. I got the bad feeling that we are going to have to get used to $70 and $80 video games for the foreseeable future. So at the end of it all, I'm happy, but not like completely blown away. The hardware is cool. There are some good looking games, even if they, you know, aren't necessarily what I was really hoping for. And the price is higher than I was expecting, both for the hardware and the games. I'm curious to watch the Treehouse footage that's coming out today and tomorrow. And I'm going to attempt to pre-order the thing, which they start April 9th. I was just hoping to be, you know, totally hyped coming out of this thing. And instead, I'm kind of like, yeah, that's cool. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to love it. But, you know, like my own kids, it might just take a while. Before we go this week, I want to send out some more positive vibes. And this time they're going out to Susan Crawford. Who is Susan Crawford, you might say? She's the newest member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And it turns out that spending millions and millions of dollars on ads and trying to illegally buy off voters wasn't enough to sway this critically important election. I like to tease, and normally I don't have that much positive to say about the state of Wisconsin, my lovely neighbor. But you know what? Credit where credit is due. They showed up and they handed Phony Stark a loss. So good job, cheeseheads. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, be well and happy gaming.